WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. 31 construction workers have survived the partial collapse of a massive industrial tunnel in Los Angeles. Among them, Chelsea Fernandez's husband.
He called and he said he's out and everything's going to be okay. So I got to hear from him. And they're rescuing people out of there. And thank God everybody acted quick and everybody's safe.
The death toll has risen and so has the count of people still missing in flash flooding in Texas Hill Country. CBS's Karen Y is in Kerrville.
At least 120 people have been confirmed dead. Now, rescue workers say a key challenge in the search is sifting through miles of land and water.
More than 170 remain unaccounted for. Retribution for Secret Service agents assigned to protect President Trump on the day of last year's assassination attempt at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
Six U.S. Secret Service personnel were suspended without pay for up to 6 weeks.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
WAUK News brought to you by the Summer Splash Dog Show at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to July 27th. Fun for the whole family. WaukeshaSummerSplash.com.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. There could be a bus system strike. Negotiators from the Milwaukee County Transit System and union leaders will meet again today after union members overwhelmingly voted to authorize a strike. That could mean a bus service shutdown if talks fail. Nearly all union members backed the strike authorization, citing frustration over budget shortfalls and safety concerns. It was recently revealed there's an almost $11 million deficit with the transit system, and several top transit officials have stepped down. Crime is generally down in Milwaukee, but homicides have gone up. In a status update given yesterday, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson reported that there have been 69 homicide cases so far this year, compared to 61 last year at this time. A dismissal decision on the federal case against Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan is expected in early August. If the case moves forward, a trial would be possible later this year. At a hearing yesterday, Judge Lynn Edelman said he'll meet with attorneys again in 10 days for a status update. Dugan faces charges for allegedly helping an undocumented immigrant avoid immigration agents during a court appearance. Her lawyers argue judicial immunity should protect her actions. There's a new pest to look out for. Joanne Krulatz has more.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is advising residents to be on the lookout for another invasive insect that's been spreading towards the state. The Asian longhorn beetle has not been confirmed in Wisconsin yet, but it has spread to neighboring Midwest states. The invasive beetle is most active during the summer months and poses a threat to trees that shed their leaves every fall. They're typically a little over an inch long and have a shiny black body with white spots and long antennae with black and white stripes.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Brewers dominated the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a night off after a dramatic 3-2 win over the Dodgers in extra innings, over 33,000 fans in the stands. Milwaukee with great pitching this week from Peralta, Mizorowski, and Jose Quintana to complete the sweep, manager Pat Murphy.
Quintana just stepped up. He wasn't going to be outdone by anyone. Gave us 6 innings, 2 hits or something like that. And the whole bullpen with McGill, Uribe, Koenig, Anderson, Mears, Ashby.
The Brewers closer Trevor McGill found out he's headed to the All-Star game next week. I asked Dodgers manager Dave Roberts what he thought the Brewers are doing best.
It's a team that play defense really well. Offensively, they just create havoc. They steal, they bunt, they hit and run, they don't strike out much. You know, there's going to be balls in play. Pat does a good job with the roster as far as trying to maximize and create offense, you know, with that ball club.
That's Dodgers manager Dave Roberts with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to 78 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, scattered shower or thunderstorm possible. We'll drop down to 65 for a low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Scattered thunderstorms tomorrow and tomorrow night with a high tomorrow near 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Bring the whole family to the Waukesha Kennel Club's Summer Splash Dog Shows at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to 27th.
Enjoy exciting events like dock diving, fast cat racing, obedience, and the thrilling best of show competition. It's fun for all ages. Check out the vendors and find the best pet supplies for your furry friends. It's the perfect weekend for dog lovers and families alike. Sponsored by Royal Canin at 540 AM WAUK. Visit WaukeshaSummerSplash.com for all the details.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 p.m., I'll be joined by Republican State Representative Duke Tucker to talk about his recent legislation to institute term limits for all major elected offices in Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Thursday morning, July 10th, 2025. And coming up later this hour, we will be talking to Joe Zepecki. We will also be talking shortly to Sean O'Malley about your money and the markets. Chad Holmes is off this week competing in Vegas, playing some poker. And then a little, I actually have to check his social media, see if he is still playing in a tournament there or if he's just enjoying the buffets now. And then we'll talk to him next week about his Vegas experience. But first, let's get an update on the forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. As we don't have the hot, humid, you know, yesterday it was great to go for a Jeep ride. But, yeah. You know, when you're at a red light or something, like the sun just beats down on you. Not that I'm complaining. I'm just saying there's a lot of dark hair up here. It absorbs it all, you know.
It does.
And so today feels a little bit different here in the Chippewa Valley, at least.
Oh, it's pretty nice for now. Mm-hmm. Very temporary, unfortunately. We've got a warm front that is slowly creeping into the state. It's going to start to push into western areas in just a few hours, continuing to spread statewide. So it is going to start to get muggy by later today. And we are looking at chances of rain really ramping up over the next 3 days, actually. So we do have chances of light showers, probably starting, like I said, into the western areas along that warm front late this morning. But then by this afternoon, around 3 or 4 or so, we're going to start to see some thunderstorms sparking up. So those will continue into the evening, and more rounds still expected overnight through tomorrow and into our Saturday as the cold front slams the state. So that is going to cool our temperatures, like the humidity behind that on Sunday, but we're still staying into summery temperatures behind it as well. So what we've got to deal with over the next few days is the potential for flash flooding. I don't want to scare you guys, but I want you to be aware that these storms are going to be moving slow. There's a lot of moisture associated with them, and they could dump a lot. And of course, if you get a lot of rain over concrete areas in the cities, you could see some flash flooding on roads. And then also rivers are going to be rising too. So just keep an eye out for that as we go through the next few days. And of course, be safe driving. Turn around, don't drown, right? It's a catchy phrase, but it's true because those roads wash out. Highways can wash out. Culverts can, you know, collapse and the road can be gone underneath. And you don't know if there's electricity or stuff underneath there either. I wouldn't risk it. Don't do it. Don't drive through it. But of course, we need the rain.
No, yeah. But again, the turnaround, don't drown, is it's not just a convenient rhyme.
No.
It's only there to save your life. Tom and Jackson on the text line, please compliment Brittany on what a lovely radio voice. We can't.
Thank you.
It gets too full of herself. No, we can't. You know, I mean, listen to her. Just, it's all ego, that girl. I tell
no,
you.
No, what?
And this one, I don't know if this one's for you or me or Parker. It says, and this is on the text, RTRERACCNGOODEADDEATOGETE.
Say what?
That was 33 minutes ago. It was followed by one that says, I have no idea what my phone just did. somebody
butt dial.
Somebody butt dialed us using the text feature on the Civic Media app. That's be a first.
We've had a couple of fun text line occurrences today. Yeah.
See, and now we got to get it through the voice note feature. We got to get people who, you know, they were going to leave us a voice note, maybe decided not to, forgot to hit stop, and then we get, you know, maybe we learn some state secrets. I don't know.
Right. They really feel.
Yes. So again, you can use that voice note app to ask Brittany a weather question or a comment or anything like that. And on an earlier topic about from Todd Alba, hitting Culver's late night. I did not know. Luke Mathers tells us on the text line that his Culver's is open until midnight and it is dangerous. Yeah. So I think a lot of them are more in the 11 o'clock area. Although Luke says the Madison locations are open late. Tell your friends, he says. So yeah, if you get late night munchies for, you know, either a butter burger or, you know, a sundae, and who wouldn't want a sundae late at night? Doesn't that sound good?
It's true. Oh, it's
a little
so
late
good.
Night ice cream.
Yeah, their flavor of the day.
That reminds me, I still have ice cream cake left in the freezer for my birthday.
What?
Ooh, and you're not sharing with Todd Alba.
I'm not. No, I'm not bringing that to the fair. I will. At least we know what I'm having. 50 minutes from right now. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. So as I mentioned, Chad Holmes is in Vegas this week. He talked about this last week. He loves to compete in poker tournaments. He had a little bit of drama getting started in Vegas this week. I'll be very curious to see how he's been progressing through his tournaments there. So we'll catch up with him next Tuesday when he's back. I'm sure he will be doing local updates on 98.9 WXCO in Wausau on Monday. But regardless, we'll have him back on Tuesday. But that gives us a few extra minutes to visit with Sean O'Malley to talk about your money and the markets, because there are more than one or two things going on when it comes to your money and the markets. And so let's bring in Sean to talk a bit about what's new. Sean, how are you?
Doing all right, Pat. Doing all right. Yeah, there are a couple of new things.
Just a couple new things. Isn't this the week? This is the week of the deadlines. The deadlines.
The deadline was yesterday.
90 yeah, deals in 90 days. How are we doing?
Still one.
Okay. Well, you know, room for progress.
90
shall we say.
90 days. How about one? How's one for you? Is one good for you?
Okay.
That's all we've got in terms of deals, but. With the July 9th tariff deadline coming and going without event, other than the Trump administration sending out a rather, I've been debating how to characterize these, puerile, silly, factually inaccurate, those all apply. I think dumb is the one that I've heard most commonly in the other press.
Yes.
Letters. Basically threatening new tariffs to specific countries. The interesting thing is that it was a form letter. So yes. The only thing that changed in letter to letter was the name of the country.
And again, I mean, this is what passes for diplomacy, is sending a form letter and just changing the name, and then sometimes getting the gender mixed up because you forgot to change it from one letter to the other. So the letters have gone out. All about what, bringing money back to the U.S. through these tariffs. I don't think it works that way, Sean. I don't think it does.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. That gets to that inaccurate, you know, factually inaccurate part of the commentary. This is not money that's going to be coming from overseas anywhere. No government is going to be paying taxes to the United States. What's going to be happening is that any tariffs that are put in place that are country specific. What's going to be happening is that anyone who imports products from that country into the U.S. is going to be paying those tariffs here in the U.S. So what's going to be happening is it's not going to be money coming from, say, for example, North Korea, that'd be a big problem.
That'd be really sad if they were exporting, yeah.
Yeah, sanctions violation. Mm-hmm. Coming from South Korea, say, TV set or something like that.
Sure.
So the government of South Korea is going to be paying absolutely nothing. What's going to be happening is that whoever is importing those TVs from South Korea is going to be paying the tariff here in the United States. So what you're basically going to have happen is some entity in the US, be it a company, be it an individual, they're going to be paying the tariff to the US government. So it's going to be an economic transfer from
it's a tax.
A US company or a US citizen to the US government. Yes, it is a tax. It is absolutely a tax.
I mean, that's all it is. And to me, this is like a great the great national civics lesson or the great national economics lesson is how many Americans will we be educating about this? And which ones are still going to be reciting the talking points about bringing all this money into the U.S. when that's not what it does, it was never going to do. But so we've got these tariff letters that are going out. The new deadline, quote unquote, is August 1st. If you believe that, then I've got a taco to sell you because, Trump will chicken out yet again. And yet, I mean, it's theater. Sean, I mean, it's manufacturing a crisis.
Correct.
And then when you back off of it, you make yourself look good. Like, I'm going to start this building on fire. Oh, I'm not. Aren't I a good person? It's right.
Exactly. And we have this from, a source that's very reputable, very close to the process, obviously does not want to provide their name because that would probably be the end of their career. But they're saying that, it's all just demonstrative theater. It's just kind of using it to manipulate the market, manipulate the political environment, and people's focus and time and efforts. It's a distraction. It's so not real. It's a phantom.
So that's the stuff country by country. But then there are some product ones as well. And folks have been talking lately about a tariff that was put in place on copper. What's the story on that?
Yeah. So in addition to the existing tariffs we already have on two other metals, steel and aluminum of 25% each, we now have a tariff on copper for 50%. So what we're seeing certainly in the marketplace, because all of these metals trade on exchanges, on commodities exchanges, there's a big dislocation between overseas copper markets and the U.S. copper market in terms of the futures prices due to the tariff being levied. So what it means in the long run, or even in the short run for the United States, is that these metals are going to get more expensive. For anyone, any manufacturer who uses steel or aluminum or copper. So now you're talking not just automotive, you're talking copper is used in the manufacture of certain electronics parts. So a lot of that industry is also going to be impacted significantly by these tariffs. And you will see an economic slowdown due to these frictions, due to these taxes being imposed on any company using any of these three metals.
I guess when I hear about the tariffs on steel and aluminum, I can almost think of like American industries that this is allegedly supposed to help, though it probably hurts more people than it helps. And the same goes for timber tariffs from Canada. I have a tougher time with this copper one. Is there something that would be so much more improved in the United States by having a big tariff on imported copper? Because I'm not aware of it.
No, it's really not designed to have any significant economic impact. Copper is, we're not a huge producer
of copper. So. Yeah.
No. So we're not protecting any industry with that one. And really, we're not protecting anything with aluminum because, that's bauxite or aluminium. And that's predominantly, in the Southern Hemisphere in countries other than the U.S. So, this is, again, it's designed to be protectionism, but it really just winds up being a financial penalty.
I was going to say it's almost performative because if it's a fairly small impact, but you can put a big number on it, like 50%. You know, you can make it look like you're doing something when you actually are not. We are talking with Sean O'Malley, a finance and economics expert, and we will continue that conversation for some of you. Others will have a local update coming up, and then when we're all back together in the next half hour, we will be talking to Joe Zepecki, followed by Matt Nair on Air at 9 o'clock. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. I don't know if you've heard the news, but Earl Ingram is back with his brand new podcast, What's Going On. It's going to be available on civicmedia.us/shows or your favorite podcast distribution center. He'll be having real conversations with community leaders, politicians, and others who affect change within the community, specifically in Milwaukee. One of his regular guests will be Dr. Howard Fuller, a distinguished professor emeritus of education at Marquette University, as well as the creator of the Dr. Howard Fuller Collegiate Academy here in Milwaukee. And to give you an idea of the discussions they're going to be having, here is a small sample of what they talked about on one of his most recent episodes.
My guess, Dr. Howard Fuller is up there with probably the one interview that I will cherish the most in my life, because this man, as I was growing up as a young boy in Milwaukee on 4th and Monarchy, a segregated community in the 1960s, turbulent times, and trying to figure out what was going on and looking around me and not really understanding segregation and integration and all those things as a young boy, but watching those things manifest themselves on television, and they were right before us in my generation, right there. And Dr. Fuller, never will forget living on 4th and Monarchy and watching the tanks rolling down the street, and the guys with their guns drawn, and all of those things. All of those things, Dr. Fuller, are in me. They've helped shape the National Guard. They've kind of shaped who I am. But I remember you as a voice for our community. You were courageous. You were a young man yourself, and yet you were there. And, you know, you and I spoke a little earlier about you never know who you impact when you're talking. You impacted me. From the time I was a young boy, and I've never forgotten you. All the other great things that you've accomplished in your life, I said this and I'll repeat it again. Man, I look at you as a brother, and man, it's an honor and a privilege to have the one and only Dr. Howard Fuller with us for a few minutes today. But his story is so long and winding that I'm going to ask him if we can do several of these, because I want people to get to know who Dr. Fuller is. Good morning to you, Dr. Fuller. How you doing, sir?
Hey, man. Good morning, my brother. I don't know what to say after all of that, but I do want to say two or three things. First of all, it's humbling to even have you or anyone put my name in a category with people like Dick Gregory and Maya Angelou and, you know, Joe Biden for a different reason.
Right. But,
you know, I mean, he's someone I respect too, but it's a different type of respect, you know, which
yes,
we could obviously talk about. But I'm deeply grateful that you would, you know, see me that in that, you know, in that way. But I don't see myself.
I know.
You know, like that.
Well, you've never been that, but go ahead.
Yeah. The second thing I want to say is I want to thank you for having me on the program this morning. And I hope the conversation that we have will be useful, you know, to the audience or to whomever, you know, obviously is listening. But then the third thing I want to say is I wanted to thank you personally for the facilitating the We Are the Drum Award. I got my We Are the Drum video.
Yeah, you do, man. And, thank you.
Yeah, I do. and you know, and Capital Productions Incorporated, the scholarship fund, and all of the people who are associated with that great organization and that great work. So this gives me an opportunity to publicly thank you for that. And I appreciate it.
So who is Dr. Howard Fuller?
I guess it depends on what day you ask.
I know. You know, let's begin at you know, the early stages of your life, because who you are is all of those different experiences.
Yeah, so I appreciate that question. And as you and I were talking earlier, you know, I actually did finally do a book, Earl, and it's called No Struggle, No Progress. And I did the book for several different reasons. And I hope that explaining this will help me answer your question. So one of the reasons I did the book is because there are now about 70 books out there that mention me in one way or another. Some of them, you know, in more detail, some of them just a quote and this and that. And I know that because there's a young brother who is working on a book about me now. And we were doing research on, you know, the books out there. And so one of the reasons I decided to write my book was I realized that if I didn't hurry up and tell my own story, that whatever else other people had to say about me would be the only story that was out there.
Right.
So in 2014, working with a woman named Lisa Frazier Page, who worked with the three doctors when they were in high school in Newark to write a book called The Pact. And that was about three young men in Newark who had a pact to become doctors. Two of them became doctors and one of them became a dentist. And she collaborated with them to write their book. And she also collaborated with one of the Little Rock Nine, I think it was Carlotta. So I was very fortunate to get her to collaborate with me to write my book.
That was Dr. Howard Fuller sitting down with Earl Ingram on his brand new podcast, What's Going On. You can find that again by going to civicmedia.us/shows or go to your podcast distribution center of choice, subscribe to it, and then it will be delivered to your device automatically every time new episodes are available. But you want to get that show in your life because it's important discussions happening about our community. You've been listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUKradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I will see you in 20 minutes. It's 8:29.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee, 540 WAUK.
As Wisconsin's summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Overall, crime is down in Milwaukee. However, there is an increase in one pretty big category. Milwaukee's latest crime statistics show overall crime is dropping, but homicides are up compared to last year. Mayor Cavalier Johnson yesterday reported 69 homicides in the first half of 2025, compared to 61 in the same period last year. Other violent crimes, like carjackings and robberies, fell by 11%. Visitation starts at 11, a funeral at 2:30. Tomorrow there will be squad cars from all over the state in Brookfield for the service of fallen Milwaukee police officer Kendall Corder. He was killed in an ambush on June 26th. Services are taking place at Elmbrook Church in Brookfield. There will be a 10-mile processional to follow leading to the Wisconsin Memorial Park. There was one veto that was the best veto of all the vetoes. Joanne Krulotz has more about what the main man in Madison liked best about using his pen.
Governor Tony Evers issued nearly two dozen partial vetoes last week when he signed the state budget into law. Perhaps the most significant, according to the governor himself, was the removal of a 2029 deadline to close Green Bay Correctional Institution. Evers has proposed closing the 1898 prison as part of a broader overhaul of the state's correction system. He proposed that plan back in February and said it would cost $500 million. But last week, the governor said the legislature hadn't engaged with his plan or proposed their own, and he objected to settling a firm deadline without one in place. He removed the 2029 deadline to close Green Bay Correctional. Still, the budget keeps $15 million to begin planning for a prison realignment and potential closure of the prison.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Despite mediocre reviews, Dinosaurs prevailed as box office champions over the 4th of July weekend. As expected, Jurassic franchise Rebirth, also known as Jurassic World Rebirth, was tops at the box office, pulling in $147 million domestically over the five-day weekend and $318 million worldwide. The film stars Scarlett Johansson and Mahershala Ali and some pretty impressive CGI dinosaurs. Coming in second place was the Brad Pitt-driven F1, which brought in $26 million and saw a somewhat respectable drop-off of 54% from the week before. How to Train Your Dragon came in third place with about $10 million in its fourth week of release. The family film is now at $224 million domestically, with well over a half a bill worldwide. Rounding out the top five were the Pixar film Elio with about $5 million Buku Dolores, and 28 years later came in fifth place with $4.6 million at the gate. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin's summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to 78 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, scattered shower or thunderstorm possible. We'll drop down to 65 for a low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Scattered thunderstorms tomorrow and tomorrow night with a high tomorrow near 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media Radio station, and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Supreme Court says the Trump administration can fire as many federal workers as it wants. Jim Santel will join us to talk about that. Plus, Brittany Merlot and Weather and Wine.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
The Milwaukee Brewers swept the LA Dodgers for the first time in franchise history in Milwaukee. Jackson Chourio singled home the winning run in the 10th inning. The Brewers rallied to beat the Dodgers 3-2. The Dodgers, the defending World Series champions, now have a six-game losing streak going. They are off today. They begin a three-game series at home against the Washington Nationals Friday, Saturday, Sunday before the All-Star break. And then after the All-Star break, their first series is next week Friday at the L.A. Dodgers. So the road doesn't get any easier. But you can catch the Brewers National Series starting tomorrow. Coverage begins at 6:35 on several Civic Media stations across the network. Let's bring in Joe Zepecki at 8:36. Joe is here, and I don't have any place to start that is as surprising as waking up this morning and learning that the former congressman from up north, Sean Duffy, is the new interim administrator of NASA. I'm not aware of the qualifications involved other than having a spat with Elon Musk. And so I guess Trump putting Sean Duffy in there is a way to keep Elon Musk from taking over NASA. But that was not on my bingo card, Sean Duffy running NASA.
No, nor on mine. Mm-hmm. I was told over and over again that the Trump administration had done this so much more thoroughly and intentionally this time, and that they had so many people lined up to go and staff the government so that they could implement Project 2025. And in a lot of respects, they actually have.
Yes.
But not in this one.
No.
and it just continues to demonstrate over and over again that they're not serious about anything. They're approaching this like third, fourth, maybe fifth graders, giving them the benefit of the doubt, and just making it up as they go along. And that is a deadly, terrible, awful, toxic stew when you have the intentionality and the bureaucratic mind that Stephen Miller has when it comes to arresting people who have lived here for years, broken no laws, paying taxes. It's terrifying. On the other hand, you've got people like Kristi Noem who don't know how to run organizations that they are responsible for, who it turns out in reporting that came out yesterday, as Texas was flooding and families were losing their little girls by the dozens, Ms. Noem, as the head of the Department of Homeland Security, could not, would not, did not authorize the deployment of urban search and rescue teams, who are some of the toughest, bad word I can't say on the radio, people we've got in federal service who go into crises like this and pull people out. And she seemed unable to pre-position those resources despite the fact they were needed. And so those assets didn't get to Texas until Monday morning, 72 hours after there was a crisis.
Here is the exact quote from Kristi Noem talking about her visit to Texas. She said, quote, We, as a federal government, don't manage these disasters. The state does. We come in and support them. And that's exactly what we did here in this situation, she said falsely. Americans helping one another after such tragic events is proof that God created us to take care of each other. To which I would respond, yeah, by pooling our resources together, putting those tax dollars into a competent system of government that can act quickly with experts, economies of scale, and actual plans. And Kristi Noem's talk is as foolish as it is incompetent, as it is insulting.
Yeah. And like, there is an actual reason for this. We're not just dunking on Noem because she's a, you know, less than stellar cabinet choice. She is a less than stellar cabinet choice, to be clear. But she comes in into this big, massive department and says, we're going to impose new financial controls. And nobody is allowed to spend more than $100,000 on one thing without the sign off of the secretary. I got to get my department's spending under control. And in a vacuum, that sounds okay. But then when you see a crisis unfolding and you see her racing to get down to Texas to go on camera, which is a part of emergency response. I'm not disputing that. But she can't find the 5 minutes it takes to sign the piece of paper that allows these assets to pre-position so they can literally go and save lives. Then you're not very good at running the organization. Then you have set a standard that does not make sense in this instance. Maybe you say it applies to every organization within DHS other than FEMA, or when there is not a ticking clock. We have heard incredible stories about heroism, individual Coast Guard rescue swimmers saving more than 100 people, one guy. And Kristi Noem stood in the way. And because of her decision-making and lack of leadership, assets that could have done that kind of thing were not deployed to Texas. I am old enough to remember a time in our politics where that fact alone would mean that a cabinet secretary was going to be cleaning out their desk by Monday. I don't have a lot of confidence that's going to happen here.
Oh, no, no. She'll be rewarded if nothing else. To bring it back, when we talk about people not in the right roles, and we talk about Sean Duffy heading up NASA, folks might be tempted to think, well, they look at the article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today by Lawrence Andrea, all about how the falling out between Elon Musk and Donald Trump has now led people like Ron Johnson and Derek Van Orden to back off of their man crushes of the world's richest man. And people might say, well, you see, it was, you know, Sean Duffy having that fight with Elon Musk that helped take the bloom off that rose. I would argue, Joe, it's not Sean Duffy's credit. It's the credit of the Wisconsin voter who in April saw what Elon Musk was trying to do and said, no, not here.
Yeah, the 11-point butt kicking, yes. after Elon made himself the belle of the ball. It was that election that literally brought Elon back down to earth. I'm trying to figure out how to make a beam me up Duffy joke in there, and I'm not sure it's going to work.
It's okay.
But when people become a political liability, Trump and his goons cut them loose. And that's just, you understand it. Mm-hmm. The problem is that approach has infected the entire Republican Party, and they are not, at the moment, a group that is operating as if they have any principles other than what's good for me in the next 10 minutes. And that when you put people in positions of authority and power, you want them to have principles, even if you disagree with them. Or see them a different way. Like, that's a bet leads to better outcomes if you know that, like, listen, I might disagree with Pat, but I know that he is coming from a place of principle in the way that he is voting or the way that he is refusing to vote for something. That is more worthy of respect than what the Republican Party under Donald Trump has become, where they are all sycophants slathering at the behest of Trump, who has been known to go from one extreme to the other on an issue, on a person, on a moment's notice, because it is politically convenient in the moment. And we are losing something important in this constant chase of, let's just get through the day. Well, you know, let's just get through the hour. Let's just get through the next 10 minutes. That's how they're governing. And there is a cost to that that we are seeing from Texas to the millions of people who are going to lose healthcare to the strategic step backwards that this country is taking in our competition with China to be the global leader for the next 100 years, as you talk about things like climate change. And that there is a cost to all of this, and we know what some of it is, but we don't yet know what all of it is.
Let's turn to state politics for a moment. The state budget passing, and it being the result of some bipartisan talks, but that does not mean folks from both parties are racing to embrace it. And there are, admittedly, a lot of progressive folks who are angry at Governor Evers. And how worried should I be that the folks angry at Evers, who would normally be allies, will not be as fully participatory next year, shall we say? Is it just misdirected anger and put the focus back on the GOP? Or, as they've told me, you know, that's a convenient cop-out to say we've got to vote for Democrats no matter what. How do we process the anger that people are feeling who would normally be allied with Democratic actions?
This one's really hard. Mm-hmm. Because there is a school of thought that says, okay, folks, tell me how the Donald Trump presidency is working out for you. Because we saw this on the left in 2024, right? People took their ball and went home. And now we have this madness unfolding. And I think that's reductive and overly simplistic. It's okay for me to feel that way, though, to be like, want to shake people and go, what are you talking about? It is also okay for them to be frustrated, because this budget wasn't good enough. This budget does not live up to what would happen if there was unified control across all three branches. And to me, when you get knocked down, you take an L, the response is, how do we get more next time? How do we strategically build power to make sure we're not in this position again next time? It is not, well, I'm going to take my ball and go home. Or, well, I got knocked on my can, I'm going to stay on the ground. How do you think Coach Z likes that when somebody falls down at football practice and doesn't want to get back up and get back in the game? That is actually the mistake or choice made on a football field that makes me angrier than anything else. And so when progressives are threatening to do that kind of thing because this set of budget negotiations, they didn't get everything they want, I'm sorry. That makes me a little angry. They have agency. We have agency in this. And the math is what the math is. Tony Evers had a hostile, not unfriendly, hostile legislature to work with, and he got wins. He didn't get all of them. It's not the budget he proposed, but the idea that because he didn't veto the entire budget, we're going to go, well, you're on your own. Sorry, folks. Yeah. That's not the way this works.
Right. That again, gives me, you know, PTSD from 2010. And that's a counseling issue we'll share for another time. From Tony, and I couldn't agree more, I think the governor should be going back to his original budget and sharing it with people, saying, this is what we wanted. Give Democrats control, and this is what you'll get. And he also notes, I disagree with Pat all the time. For example, he should be exploring a run for governor, but he just keeps talking about writing books and doing radio shows. A local update is next for some of you. Others will come back here for some final news and notes with Joe Zepecki here from Lake Wasota. Remember, you can follow my team at Up North News all day through our newsletters, social media, our website, and of course, right here, mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Wrightlaw.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety.
CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and here is what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Wisconsin has a long and tumultuous relationship with mass transit, and every year it seems to get more and more difficult with cuts being proposed, hours being slashed, and workers not getting the support they need, especially in the bus system. And right now there are disputes on the contracts between the management and the bus union, so Maggie Dawn spoke with Angela Lang, who is the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities, about her experience working for the county and the importance of the bus system to that community.
It seems that every time they're trying to renegotiate the Milwaukee County Transit System bus driver's contract, that we get within seemingly minutes of a strike. And there was news that came out approximately, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago, just before the holiday, that an unknown budget deficit was looming for MCTS this year, somewhere north of $10 million. Mm-hmm. And so what the transit union is asking for is basically to put public safety officers, query who that is, how they're trained, how that works, onto buses, not all buses, certain buses. They claim buses that have high rates of fare evasion. We may get into that a little bit. So they're asking for raises as well as these safety officers on the buses. And I will not say that bus drivers don't face a panoply of challenges in doing their jobs. Mm-hmm. But the economic realities of that transit system are dire. This is not a problem that is one union contract solvable. Operating costs, the costs of buses themselves, of labor, of all kinds of different equipment, even the maintenance equipment itself, have skyrocketed. Our transit system in the Milwaukee area is struggling. How do you feel about this particular moment? Because having worked at the county, I understand these budget constraints, right? We're getting pinched from all sides. Sure. As someone who believes in the dignity of organized labor, I understand what they're asking, too. I have concerns about some of the safety officer ideas for a whole panoply of reasons, but it really seems like it's rock and hard place. How do they break through this seemingly unbridgeable gulf?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be rough. And I say this as someone who, like, grew up on the bus system. I took the bus to school in high school, right?
Yep.
I didn't get my license until 2013 because I had to for my job, right? So, like, I grew up on the bus system. I also say this as a person whose, like, first job out of college was for a labor union, right? And I think... we've been here before. You know, I remember several years ago, there was another, you know, like, strike, and it was, you know, there are times it's around the 4th of July, or it's around Summerfest, which, you know, from a strategic standpoint, that's where you apply the pressure, right? Yep. That's where you have some leverage in contract negotiations. And I will always be on the side of labor and of unions. But I will say it's going to be a tricky scenario for them to navigate with this unexpected deficit that was revealed, like you said. I think it's one thing to want to do right and, you know, be like a greedy boss. It's another to be like, well, I want to do right, but, like, I literally don't have the funds. And so I'm curious to see, you know, like, does the county board have to get involved? The you know, the county budget process is going to happen in the fall. Is this also like a state legislature issue of trying to get increased funding from the state? Whatever it is, it's, I don't envy folks that have to negotiate that contract. But, you know, I'm supportive of all the drivers that many of which who kind of raised me and kind of looked out for me when I was that, you know, 13-year-old riding on the bus by myself. And yeah, I think it's going to be very difficult. And I think this is what we talk about, is when you have these budget shortfalls, not only does it impact the worker, it also has a ripple effect. Folks getting to and from work where, you know, they can't afford to get a lift all the time. All of these things, it's going to have a ripple effect. And everyone involved should do the best that they can to make sure that they're honoring as much as possible the union wishes.
Well, this is with our next guest coming up. This was so timely, right, to talk with Stephanie Bloomingdale. She's coming up at the bottom of the hour, the president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. I don't know what the solution for MCTS is. I don't. And I worked at the county for nearly 8 years. Mm-hmm. It is always these same issues. One of the things that people should know is bus drivers are instructed not to deny ridership to someone who refused to pay a fare, because that's their job is not fare enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of public safety officers on the buses brings up a whole panoply of questions about who is being enforced by what standards and all of the potential biases that come with that. And yet, I know that many drivers have been in unsafe situations.
Yeah.
The reality is that the entire economy of the state of Wisconsin needs a transit system in the city of Milwaukee. And what I do know is that when Scott Walker became governor, the idea of mass transit of any kind was under attack. And that does not serve any community well. And the reason that I say the entire economy of Wisconsin needs MCTS is that the folks that rely on MCTS to get to school, to get to work, to do their jobs and live their lives are an absolutely critical part of our state's economy. These are the folks that keep things moving in Milwaukee.
Go to civicmedia.us/shows, look for the Maggie Dawn Show, and download her episodes straight to your device and listen to them wherever you want, whenever you want. And just a reminder, folks, if you want to let your voice be heard, go to myvote.wi.gov, put in your information, look up who represents you, call them, whomever they are, let them know what you're thinking about the policies being put forth, because that's how you get things done, by letting your voice be heard. Again, that's myvote.wi.gov. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Crutch. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I hope you have a wonderful Thursday. I'm going to talk to you tomorrow. It's 8:59.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. A close call for 31 construction workers inside an industrial tunnel in L.A. that partially collapsed. Chelsea Fernandez rushed to the scene.
I lived down the street. I ran over here and I asked the police, please let me through. And my husband's in there.
Search continues for more than 170 people missing in Texas flooding. CBS's Karen Waugh says questions persist about a warning plan.
Several officials have refused to directly answer what exactly happened with these emergency alerts. We have some officials defending their actions, saying that they saved more than 200 people.
A federal court hearing underway in New Hampshire on a class action lawsuit challenging the president's executive order to end birthright citizenship. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Lawyers in Maryland on Monday filed a similar lawsuit seeking a new preliminary injunction, halting any action denying citizenship to newborn babies.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah.